ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is written, be not anxious for your life, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? It is written, and they besought him that he would depart from their borders. It is written, he said unto them, follow me. And he arose and left all and followed him. It is written, how much more is a man of more value than a sheep? While they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and told unto the chief priest all the things that were come to pass. And when they were assembled with the elders that had taken counsel, they gave much money unto the guards, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and rid you of care. So they took the money and did as they were taught, and this saying was spread abroad among the Jews until this day. Use your money while you're living. Do not hoard it to be proud. You can never take it with you. There's no pocket in a shroud. Gold can help you on no farther than the graveyard where you lie. And though you're rich while living, you're a pauper when you die. Use it then, some lives to brighten, as through life you weary plod. Place your bank account in heaven and grow richer toward your God. Use it carefully, use it freely. Do not hoard it to be proud. You can never take it with you, because there's no pocket in a shroud. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this important message entitled, Money, 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 Money. I heard a man one time presiding at the receiving of the offering, and he made the remark that the Lord never had much to say about money. So I decided to check it out for myself, just how much the Lord did say about money during his ministry on earth. A hasty reading of the Gospel according to Matthew told me that the Gospel record referred to money in that one book about 31 times. I noted that while Matthew only referred to baptism 12 times, he referred to prayer 21 times, and to faith or believing 22 times. The following is a partial list of the areas where money is mentioned in the Lord's ministry on this planet in the one book of Matthew. We don't have to read very far until we read the first mention of money in the second chapter. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And they came into the house and saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. In opening their treasures, they offered unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. They came into the house. They did not come into the place of the manger. The shepherds had come and gone, and now come the wise men. By the time these wise men came, the holy family had moved out to a house. And they gave him gold. They did not bother with folding money. They did not give him change from their pocket. It was gold, solid gold. What gifts do you usually give a young child? Perhaps a pacifier, a rattler, and a teddy bear. This was not what the baby Jesus needed. The wise men knew that. They were wise men and not dumb men. They gave gold. Gold was what they needed because they were poor. When the infant Jesus was circumcised at 8 days old, Mary and Joseph offered a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. They wanted to bring a lamb, but were too poor to afford one. So the dove and pigeons was the prescribed offering for the poor. This gold was much needed offering. They would need it to finance an upcoming trip to Egypt. This was not the only time the Lord, as he lived in the flesh, would need financial help. Today, the church is called the body of Christ. Those who are wise today are aware that the body of Christ needs their gifts of gold. I know I'm very frank, but if you have any sense, you know what I mean. And so the New Testament has much to say about money, 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 money. Then again in Matthew, the 6th chapter, Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, said, "Lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven." He further warned, "Be not anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." A list of the 6 things Americans worry about the most was published one time. And the first things Americans worry about most is money. The second is criticism of others. Then loss of a loved one, sickness, old age, and last of all, death. From this list, it could be observed that Americans are more afraid of living than they are of dying. Said the robin to the sparrow, "I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so." Said the sparrow to the robin, "I think that it must be, since they have no heavenly Father such as watches you and me." So Jesus gives the best insurance policy of all. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Most folk fail to read the fine print in that contract the Lord gave us. They need to put the kingdom first. First above sports and everything else, if there is anything else. And putting first also includes a lifestyle approved by the Word of God. It looks like the Lord has a lot to say in Matthew about money, 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 money. The next time we run into the money problem is a roadblock in the 8th chapter regarding the Gadarene demoniacs. When the Lord cast out the demons on that day, the swine ran down the steep into the sea and drowned in the waters. They that fed them fled and told everything to the people in town, and when they came out, they besought Jesus to depart from their borders. But what the Lord had done was wonderful, but the price was too high. Jesus cost too much. He had done them a great favor by curing this man, but the price was out of their reach. One farmer told me that a good rule of thumb for a value of a hog was $100 for a pig just big enough to take to market. Using this minimum as a base, you can see that 2,000 hogs floating in the water belly up would be worth at least $200,000. This would be a big jolt to the economy. What the Lord did was a wonderful thing for the community, but he was too expensive. $200,000 was too much to pay. The Lord is expensive today. He costs a lot. Someone has said, however, if the Lord doesn't get your money, the devil will. Nothing is more expensive than sin. How many dollars do you spend each week on cigarettes or cigars? If it is suggested you give the same amount to the Lord's work, many would say, "Oh, we can't afford it." If you don't give it to the Lord, you'll give it to the devil. How much do you spend on booze each week? Suggests to someone that they give that amount to the Lord, and a howl goes up. If you don't give it to the Lord, you'll give it to the devil. How much money do you spend on lottery tickets? Suggest to someone that they give the amount to the Lord and a squall goes up to high heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't give it to the Lord, you'll give it to the devil. Jesus is expensive, but not as expensive as the devil. When we read the Gospel according to Matthew, and that's the first book of the New Testament, it is abundantly clear that the Lord had a lot to say about money, 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 money. Then again, in the 9th chapter of this book of Matthew is a story of the call of Matthew to be an apostle. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the place of toll and said unto him, "Follow me." Matthew rose up and left all and followed him. Many a servant of God has heard the same call that Matthew heard, the call to serve the Lord in a specialized sense. Matthew rose up and left all. He left a lucrative career to follow Jesus. He gave up his hope of a pension in the Internal Revenue. He left all and followed Jesus. I like that statement. He rose up and left all and followed him. One man I know who had a good position in a factory was torn between the decision whether to give up his job and all the benefits and go full-time in the preaching ministry. He told me he had an opportunity to go to a church in a faraway state and ask if I thought he should go. He asked if I thought he should give up what he had and go preach. I told him I could not tell him what to do, and that I myself had often bitten off more than I could chew and had to back off. I reminded him that there is a fine line between faith and foolishness. He decided not to cut loose at that time, which at the moment was the best decision. But then later on, another opportunity came, and like Matthew, he rose up and left all and followed Jesus and is a successful preacher of the Word today. Matthew, when he was called and rose up and left all, took his ballpoint pen with him. The Lord would use him later on, using his ability as a writer for the glory of God. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you happen to be a plumber and want to serve the Lord as a preacher, you too may rise up and leave all and follow him, but take your monkey wrench with you. As a preacher in the church, you will always find a few nuts that need to be tightened. If you are a carpenter, go ahead. Rise up and leave all and follow Jesus, but take your screwdriver with you. In the church, you will always find someone who has a few screws loose. I think that is abundantly evident that the Lord had much to say in his word about money, 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 money. And then money seems to be involved also when the Lord sent out the 12 two by two. He told them to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. If some of us had been in that group, we would have said, "Lord, are you going to give us a company credit card to take care of the expenses?" There would be no credit card. He told them to travel light. Don't take an extra suit or shoes or money. Just go. Maybe they took an overnight bag with a toothbrush, razor, shaving cream, and perhaps a deodorant stick. If they had said, "But Lord, where will we get the money to do all this traveling?" Jesus had the answer. He said the laborer is worthy of his hire. If you do what the Lord tells you to do, you will get paid. There is an inexorable law that when you supply the needs of the community will in turn supply your needs. The crying need of the world today is the faithful preaching of the gospel. If a preacher faithfully preaches the word of God, the Lord will see to it that those whose spiritual needs are fulfilled will fulfill the needs of the preacher. As ye go, preach. And whosoever will not hear your words, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So as you read the gospel according to Matthew, it becomes more and more evident that the Lord has much to say about money, 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 money. Then again, look at the matter of money in the 12th chapter of Matthew regarding the value of a man. What man shall there be of you having one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much more, then, is a man of more value than a sheep? A man is more value than a sheep physically. A prize dog, sheep, or horse may sell for thousands of dollars. Back in the 30s of the 20th century, the teacher of my high school biology class said that if all the elements of the human body could be gathered together, such as iron, copper, and so on, and be sold at the market price, the human body would be worth about 98 cents. Now, because of the inflation rate today, your body may be worth $5.98. But that's not the only way to look at it. That's not the only way to look at a man's value. A man can walk on 2 feet and tie his shoes. A sheep can't do that. A man is more valuable than a sheep intellectually. A man can invent a computer and play checkers. A man is more valuable than a sheep eternally. A man will live forever either in heaven or hell. Look at the missionary program of many churches, and it is evident that most churches regard other people who are out of Christ absolutely worthless. Jesus had a lot to say about money, 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 money during his sojourn on earth. Think about also how the judgment day. Notice that statement in the 16th chapter of Matthew when the Lord said, "For what shall a man be profited if he shall gain the whole world and forfeit his soul, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Ladies and gentlemen, the soul of one man is more valuable than the whole world and everything in it. It is amazing how many people never give any thought to eternity. Most folk live like big, fat, healthy animals, headed for the slaughterhouse. Perhaps most think that eternity is all right to think about if you are a preacher or a God-fearing little old lady. Well, that's a good way to look at it if it could be proven that preachers and God-fearing little old ladies were the only people who will ever die. However, the mortality rate of the human race is very discouraging. If you read the mortality table of the insurance companies, you will learn that for every 100 people you meet, ladies and gentlemen, it is a proven fact that 100 of them will eventually die. So this question of Jesus applies to everyone. What shall a man be profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord has a lot to say in the gospel according to Matthew about money, 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 money. Then how about the man who is called the rich young ruler in the 19th chapter of Matthew? He said, "Master, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now the Lord told him to go and sell all that he had and come follow him. Jesus sometimes discourages some people from following him. One man said, "Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." Jesus discouraged him. He said, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the heaven have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." In this case, the rich young ruler, the apostles were almost salivating. They said, "Lord, this is a real catch. Land him. and we will have no money problems again." But Jesus discouraged the rich young ruler. He said, "Go, sell everything, and then follow me." Now, in the case of Zacchaeus later on, Zacchaeus told Jesus that he would give him 50%. Jesus said, "Sounds like a good deal. I'll take it." How come the Lord accepted 50% from one man and demanded 100% from the other? It was because the rich young ruler did not have any money. He had no money. The money he thought he had had him. Money, 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 money. At the resurrection of Jesus is one of the most powerful lessons of all on the hold that money can have on a person. The guard that was set by Pilate to guard the tomb of Jesus went away and told the chief priest what had happened. What a story they had to tell. While they did not see the risen Christ, they did see an angel. These macho Roman guards fell down before that angel as did men. The tomb was empty. Here is the greatest story of all time, and they never told it. The chief priest offered them much money to stonewall the story. The inspired record says, "And they took the money and did as they were taught." They told a story, but they didn't tell the truth. They said the disciples came and stole him away while we slept. Ladies and gentlemen, people will say anything if the price is right. That's the story of many a preacher today. He may know the truth, and as a young man entering the master's service, have a desire to tell it. But something happens. He goes to a church and they hire him, and hire him is a good term. He is what the Lord called a hireling. The church offers him what is called in these days a package. The package includes health insurance. It includes car allowance. It includes housing allowance and other benefits and a few perks along the way with it. Now the plot thickens. One preacher says that in his church he has some liberals and some conservatives. He says, "I must preach in such a way as to please both sides." Actually, that is impossible. So what happens? He looks at his package and sees his health insurance going down the drain, also his perks, and decides it is best to keep a low profile on matters of doctrine. Such matters as a plan of salvation must not be emphasized. He knows there are many folk who do not believe that the terms given by Peter on the day of Pentecost, the very day the church began, are valid. With his eye on the package and the perks, he tells the truth up to a point where it might offend. And then, like the Roman guard, he takes the money. As Jude says, they show respect of persons for the sake of advantage. By the way, why is it that in most churches you never hear the terms of pardon as given in the New Testament? Jesus said, "He that believeth and is immersed shall be saved." Peter said, "Repent ye and be immersed every one of you, not some of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Why is it that you don't hear it? The answer is really quite simple. And they took the money. Money, 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 money. Carve your name high o'er the shifting sands, where the shifting sands defy decay. The only thing you'll ever hold in your cold, dead hand is what you have given away. Build your pyramids skyward and stand, gazed at by millions, real culture, they say. The only thing you'll ever hold in your cold, dead hand is what you have given away. Count your wide conquest over sea and land. Heap up the gold, hoard as you may. The only thing you'll ever hold in your cold, dead hand is what you have given away. Culture, gold, fame are so grand. King of the world, smart for a day. The only thing you'll ever hold in your cold, dead hand is what you have given away. Money, 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 money. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.